Our scripture text this morning is taken from John's Gospel, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. I will be reading verses 1 through 18. It's on page number 1645 in your pew Bibles, if you want to turn to it there. 1645, John chapter 1. I'll be reading verses 1 through 18. The Word of the Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God from the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life. That life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light, the true light that gives light to every man, was coming into the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only. He came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me will surpass me because he was before me.'" From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known.
Well, as I look around, I don't see a whole lot of teenagers of the youth in our youth group. They're probably in Sunday school if they're awake. They had a lock-in the night before last, and I think the youth leaders who stayed up all night with them are probably still recovering. And many of you are probably still recovering from Christmas, Christmas morning flash. What a build-up. All of the preparation, all of the promotion, all of the anticipation, all of the excitement, all the busy schedules, the hustle, the bustle, the frantic frenzy activity. You remember last several weeks, 28 more shopping days until Christmas. And then the countdown, 9 more shopping days, 8, 7, 6 more shopping days, finally anxiety rising, only 24 hours to shop and drop and wrap. Finally, Christmas morning arrives, and depending on the age of your children or grandchildren, 6:30 if they're young, and 9:30 or 10:30 if they're teenagers, right? Or if you don't have kids in the house, 1 o'clock, no, just kidding. But kids bounce downstairs, and there's a furious flurry of flying wrapping paper and ribbon. Within 20 or 30 minutes, it's all over. Well, maybe the family dinner extends the celebration a little bit. The grocery shopping, the food preparation, more baking, table setting. How long do you actually sit at the table for Christmas dinner? 20 or 30 minutes, depending on what the kids got for Christmas already.
Don't you wish Christmas could last a little longer? This year's Advent seasonal theme was making Christmas meaningful, turning trivial pursuits into memorable celebrations. You remember we talked about Jesus, the true star of Christmas. We talked about Jesus, the King who would be man. We talked about Jesus, heaven's gift to all peoples. We talked about Jesus, God's magnificent message. Jesus is the centerpiece of the season. Today's challenge, the Sunday after Christmas, is to realize that even better than a memorable, joyous celebration of Christmas Day is keeping Christmas. Keeping Christmas. Realize the true spirit of Christmas keeps on going. Kind of like the Energizer Bunny keeps going and going and going. That's the real spirit of Christmas. God with us, Emmanuel, goes with us still. Doesn't end Christmas morning. Keeping Christmas means living every minute with the experience of Christ's presence. Let me say that again. Keeping Christmas means living every moment, every minute with the experience of Christ's presence in our lives. Emmanuel, God with us, the essence and heart of the Christmas gospel. As I just read in verse 14 of John 1, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's a powerful message, this incarnation message. God in the flesh. The angel's announcement, updated perhaps to today's vernacular. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you, live and in person, laying in a manger, God. No more messengers, no more prophets. God himself shows up and stays with us. He dwelt with us. He dwelt among us. Literally, the Greek phrase there is he tabernacled among us. He pitched his tent in the midst of us, camped out with us. God moved into your neighborhood, is the way it reads. God with us goes with us today and tomorrow and the next day as we experience his presence in our lives. Have you learned to practice the presence of God daily, spending time in his company? Emmanuel, God is with you. God is with us. Perhaps you're making New Year's resolutions. The best, I think, goes far beyond dieting and losing weight and all the rest. The best resolution you could make are setting goals to commit to revitalize and extend your devotional time spent with the Lord each day. Experience this God who dwelt among us, dwells among us, Emmanuel. Many today especially need a sense of God's presence. Many, all of us, need to experience God coming into our hearts, into the midst of our lives, Emmanuel, especially those who are lonely, grieving, depressed this time of year. Love and joy come to you. I bring you good tidings, great joy, comfort and joy. Keeping Christmas means living every moment in the experience of God's presence. Plus, keeping Christmas involves living every day as an expression of Christ's person. Let me say that again. Keeping Christmas means living every day as an expression of Christ's person. At Christmas, we have a tradition of giving gifts to others. Why? To be like God. We give because he first gave to us. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that great first Christmas present of all. Don't let the giving stop just because it's after Christmas. We have a tradition of lighting candles. I loved our candlelight services here, Christmas Eve. The luminaries illumined and lightened our spirits. Why do we light candles? Because we want to be like Jesus, the light of the world. Jesus, the true star of Christmas, came into the world. He is the true light. We want to bear witness to this light, just as John the Baptist did. Cousin John gave a witness. And so we too. Don't let your light grow dim. Certainly don't let your light go out. We have a tradition of loving one another many ways to share and show love to others, especially at Christmas time. Caring for the lonely, praying for the lost, being near those who need compassion and comfort. Why do we do this? We love because he first loved us. Don't let the loving stop. 24/7, 365 days a year. I ran into a classic devotional thought that I'd like to share with you from Henry Van Dyke. He's the one that wrote The Other Wise Man. In fact, let me share a synopsis of this classic story, The Other Wise Man. Some of you have perhaps seen a movie or a play or read a book, a little booklet about this fourth wise man. Does that sound familiar? It was written by Presbyterian pastor in Brooklyn, then Princeton professor of English literature. He lived the turn of the last century. He wrote this story kind of adding to and expanding on the story of the biblical wise men or the magi, recounting in the Gospel of Matthew in the New Testament. It tells about a fourth wise man, accepting the tradition of the Magi numbering three. Van Dyke adds the story of another, a priest of the Magi named Artaban, one of the Medes from Persia. Like the other Magi, he sees signs in the heavens proclaiming the king had been born among the Jews. Like them, he sets out to see this newborn ruler, carrying treasures as gifts for the Christ child. Sapphire, a ruby, and a pearl of great price. However, he stops along the way to help a dying man, which makes him late to meet the caravan with the other three wise men. Because he missed the caravan, he can't cross the desert with only his horse. He's forced to sell one of his treasures in order to buy camels and supplies necessary to make the trip to Palestine. He then begins his journey and arrives in Bethlehem too late to see the child whose parents have fled to Egypt. He saves the life of another child with the price of another one of his treasures. Artaban then travels to Egypt to follow the Christ child in many other countries, searching for Jesus for many years and performing various acts of goodwill and charity along the way. After 33 years, Artaban is still a pilgrim and a seeker of the light. Artaban arrives in Jerusalem just in time for the crucifixion of the Christ. He spends his last treasure, a pearl
to ransom a young woman who has been sold into slavery. He is then struck in the head by a falling roof tile and is about to die, having failed in his quest to find Jesus, but having done much good through all of his good deeds. A voice tells him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, inasmuch as thou hast done it to one of the least of these, my brethren, thou hast done it to me." Matthew 25:40. Artaban dies with a calm radiance and wonder and joy. His treasures were accepted, and the other wise man found his king. What a wonderful story. I ran into that this week as I was reading a devotional written by this same preacher, Henry Van Dyke. And it's classic, actually. It's been read over and over again. It was in a collection of pastors' devotionals for Christmas season. He writes, "It is a good thing to observe Christmas Day, the mere marking of times and seasons when men agree to stop work and make merry together is a wise and wholesome custom. But there is a better thing than the observance of Christmas Day, that is keeping Christmas. Are you willing to forget what you have done for other people and to remember what other people have done for you? To ignore what the world owes you and think about what you owe the world. To put your rights in the background and your duties in the middle ground and your chances to do more than your duty in the foreground. To see that your fellow men are just as important as you are and try to look beyond their faces to their hearts, hungry for joy. To know that probably the only good reason for your existence is not what you are going to get out of life, but what you will give to life. To close your book of complaints against the universe and look around you for a place where you can sow a few seeds of happiness. Are you willing to do these things even for a day? Then you will keep Christmas. Are you willing to believe that love is a stronger thing in the world, stronger than hate, stronger than evil, stronger than death, and that this blessed life will begin in Bethlehem, which began in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, is the image and brightness of eternal love? Then you will keep Christmas. And if you keep it for a day, why not always? But you cannot keep it alone. O Lord, help us rightly remember the birth of Jesus, that we may share in the song of the angels, the gladness of the shepherds, and the worship of the wise men. Close the doors of hate and open the doors of love all over the world. Deliver us from evil by the blessing that is Christ, and teach us to be merry with clean hearts. As we keep Christmas, expressing his love, don't let the loving stop. One more point. Keeping Christmas is living every hour with the expectation of the Messiah's coming. Let me say that again. Keeping Christmas is living every year with the expectation of the Messiah's coming again. As we approach a new year, think, this could be the year. The prophets long foretold his first coming. The Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem of a young Jewish woman in the line and house of David. The Old Testament predicted it. The incarnation, Emmanuel, God with us. The angels announced it, Jesus, born to save us from our sin. As wonderful and awesome was Christ's first coming, it's nothing compared to what will be his second coming, his second advent.
The first Advent is only a shadow of his coming to come. The biblical prediction of Christ's second coming is clear and unmistakable. The biblical promise of Christ's second coming is sure and unshakable. Christ is coming again. Are you ready? As much as we put into preparations for Christmas, for his first coming, that celebration, how much more should we be preparing our hearts for the second coming? Are you ready? Do you know the Savior? Do you have the assurance of salvation in him? If you don't, I want to talk with you. I want to pray with you. I want you to come into a clear knowledge that you are his and that you are ready to see him as he comes. In John chapter 1, this passage that we have been focusing on this morning, it says clearly that his own were not ready. His own did not recognize him. The world did not receive him. But we, to as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. That's the good news of the incarnation. Have you opened your hearts to receive that precious Christmas gift? Have you accepted Christ into your heart so that you are ready to see him as he comes in the clouds with trumpet fanfare? Maybe this is the year, 2019, in which he will come. Maybe today, maybe before this service is over. We don't know when it will be. It could be today. It could be this year. Don't panic, but be ready. Emmanuel, God with us, must go with us. As we experience his presence, as we express his love to others, and as we anticipate and expect his coming again, don't leave Jesus as a baby in the manger, but take him with you every day in your heart. God with us beyond December 25th, this week, this new year. It's always Christmas to a true believer in Christ as we go with him. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the power of the gospel, the message of salvation come to us in the birth of our King, the birth of our Savior, the Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, Maranatha, come and fill us with anticipation and hope that we might shine with your light and share your love with all those around us. Help us to keep Christmas every day, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.